everybody, welcome to the ReZero podcast, and today we are joined by another special guest co-host. We'll talk about him in just a moment. He's not that special, but we're talking about Greed If or Kasenaroru.
We're just gonna go with that.
Yeah, Kasenaroru, Naruto, Naruto If.
And yes,
we're talking about Greed If, the story in which Subaru decides to accept Etchy Durner's help and become the kingpin of Chicago.
What?
I may have read the wrong story.
Different ifs? Yeah, like, hold up. I think our notes aren't going to be very cooperative here.
Yeah, so this story is, joking aside, it's about if in that one episode that instead of Subaru declining Echidona's help, he accepts it and forms a contract with her. Now, what this means is that she's basically always with him, no matter what. There's this black crystal he has, and she can see everything he does, feel everything, know everything, and is just always snooping around inside poor old Subaru's brain. So this is actually a sort of a depressing tale, I would say. One of the most depressing things I've read in all of ReZero, to be honest. And I read Ayamatsu If, which was also sort of depressing.
I think it's a result of the fact that Ayamatsu If Subaru isn't broken, he's insane. Like, he is gone. What we're watching here is a Subaru that's clearly like the Subaru from before, just so broken that there's like very little left. It's very tragic, you know, like, and it's totally because of taking Echidona's hand here.
Yeah, he definitely made the right choice in the anime, because
holy shit.
What he does is he essentially, to get the best route possible, he dies thousands and 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 thousands of times.
It's inferred that the count is, like, this is probably, like, just exaggeration, right? But it's inferred the count is up to, like, 100 million times or something fucking stupid like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally Subaru can die as easily as he can breathe at this point.
Right. And it's something we see at the very end of this.
It's terrifying.
It's just, this was not good. And we see at the very beginning, he wakes up. It's the 14th of Kisdom, which I believe is the 14th of whatever the fuck that is in normal people, Earth.
Yeah, there's loads of world building for ReZero that is just almost never mentioned in main stories. So I'm kind of vague on this as well.
Yes. And, well, it goes over how he's went over this whole route that he's doing, like over tens of thousands of times. Mm-hmm. And, oh, it's so depressing, their conversation. It's so obvious from this conversation that she's the reason he's like this.
Yep.
And it kind of makes me, not angry, but it makes me like, why?
Disappointed, I think is the, like, it, and it's even sadder, right? Because Subaru doesn't resent her for any of this in any way whatsoever. Subaru is such an enigma in this because he's so fucking broken. Like, he barely feels anything. It feels to me like Arc 4 Oswald, where, like, he's clinging on to emotions he felt so long ago, but because of the circumstances around his life now, there is almost nothing left.
Yeah, he, like, they're having this, like, back and forth, this, you know, she's being very charismatic, she's doing her own, you know, normal thing, and Subaru's interactions just seem so empty and depressing. Like, when he wakes up in the morning and he goes to the mirror to splash water over his face,
he has to practice smiling to get it right.
Yeah, and there he's crying while doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, wow.
All with a blank face. It's so telling how absolutely Echidona just can't understand people.
Yeah.
Like, and Subaru has been used to his fullest extent. He's been used so much, he doesn't even think himself like as a human being anymore. It's gotten to that level. It's disturbing to like a new degree.
Yeah, yeah. So when all of you people on the internet are like, oh man, Subaru's a dork for not taking up Echidona, they could just be smashing out all the time. Yeah,
why
well, this
he
is what
himself?
Happens.
Why doesn't he just kill himself?
Why does he just carry around like a pill or something?
Oh my god. Top tier level criticisms of Subaru as a character here.
Yeah, but what did you think about this first interaction with Echidona and Subaru?
I think it's telling of the fact that Subaru is completely reliant on Echidona for like all his actions in this. Like, the only bit of independence he has is something that's kind of mentioned later, which is the most disturbing part of this if. But God Almighty, he has no will of his own, it feels like, in some of these scenes. Like, he feels like a puppet being played. And he notices this throughout the if, but he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
He's done it a million times. Why would he care?
And the even more disturbing part of this is Echidona isn't evil. Like, she isn't, like, an evil monster who's doing this for a
yeah.
bad thing. Like,
he says
she just doesn't understand. She doesn't understand. She doesn't have malicious intent.
Right. Yeah, he says that. He says, like, even though, like, she's done all this to him and has, you know, she just is the way she is. And no one in their right mind could look at her and her actions and say she's actually evil. She's just her.
And it feels to me that it's the same sentiment that's echoed like throughout this if of Subaru is basically the new Roswell to Echidona. She's completely instilling her life philosophies into Subaru here, to the point where he's becoming as vile as a witch, as Minerva would say. Like, Subaru is going beyond the limits of what a human is now, to the level of he's almost as like ambiguous as a witch, as a being. It's disturbing as fuck.
Yeah, where's Minerva in all this to be like, I'll help you, Subaru?
Yeah, I feel like Echidona purposefully left those girls behind.
yeah, as we saw in arc 4 near the middle, like they all like all those other witches, even the worst one, Typhon, because she's the worst, she's a lolly. Even her, you know, they were like, you know, they were supportive in Subaru in some way. You know, they didn't base it. It's just, you know, her nature, Echidona's nature. It's just she needs a filter, you know. She needs someone to be there to be like,
yep,
weary traveler, do not head into this inn.
she's greedy, and she's honest about how greedy she is, but it's to a level where she's possessive. Like, Subaru, to me, in this, feels like her favorite toy, her favorite possession that she loves to play with so, so much. You know, like,
yeah,
it... God. My God.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is... Like, this, to me, this, like... Throughout Arc 4, I never really, like, kinda understood how bad she could get. This is, like, to me... In a nutshell, how bad she can get.
Yep.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
And like you said, she just doesn't care. It's like she has no understanding of what Subaru was going through at all.
And yet she still offers to say, oh yeah, share your burdens with me. And you could tell at this point that Subaru, like, completely seen through this and just knows that she just doesn't genuinely care. And she's like, no, I will deal with it myself. Nobody else deserves my burden. It's like this double moment of he doesn't care about himself, but he also knows that Echidona doesn't think of him as a person.
It's very sad.
It is big sad.
Big sad. Big sad. But he opens the door. He goes back to reality.
Hell yeah!
The second most disturbing place you can be in Subaru's world.
Yeah.
Petra walks in. She's a little bit older now. This is 2 years in the future.
She's 14, I think.
She's 14, yeah. She's budding.
as Subaru says.
And it's almost like this is like, at first I thought, oh, this is like a pretty cute interaction. But by the end you realize it's just a play. Yeah. It's just he has to do it.
And this is the saddest part about this if. These interactions between him and Petra are the most genuine out of all of it. And even that is fake as shit.
Yes. It's literally the same thing. It's like, oh God, it's like that Adam Sandler movie 50 First Dates. Or like Groundhog's Day or something, but just so depressing.
Because think of it like this, right? Subaru has done this so many times that it must be meaningless to him. It's just another day in hell in his mind. Like, I don't imagine him even beginning to give a shit.
Yeah.
He has to pretend he does. That's the thing. He has to keep up appearances.
And it's like... And it's like the way they describe, like the way he describes how Petra has grown, and then just to contrast that with what happens everywhere else, it's like mm-hmm. it's another detail that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, his back and forth with Echidona here is also telling of the fact that he really just does not trust her, but he knows he has to use her. At this point, he's in knee deep. Like he can't go back. There is no reverting this decision.
Yep.
It feels like watching a train wreck in motion. It's horrifying.
And the thing is even if he does complete the goal, he's not completing it the way that it honestly should be completed. So even when he completes it all, it's all fucked.
Yeah. The most optimal path is not the best path. That is for sure.
Yes. In this case, I bet Subaru will not die nearly as much by the end of ReZero.
I would hope so for his poor fucking mental state, because, oh my god.
Like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the amount of times he has died after taking Echidona's contract is probably how much
I don't want to see Subaru like this ever again. Never do I want to see Subaru like this again.
Yeah, this is much worse than any of the other breakdowns he's had.
Because it's permanent. There is no fixing him. Like, you could tell there is no salvation. It is on the level of Elsa at this point. It feels that way. Like, there is no reverting this man. He's too far gone.
Yep. And we move on to, well, one of the most interesting things, I think, from all this.
Oh, yeah.
Felt ran away when Subaru was like, hey, Felt, here's your exit. Just leave. And nobody knows. Just Subaru.
I feel like this is blackmail. I feel like this was forced.
Probably.
Because doesn't Echidona try to justify it later on? And it would feel like if she's trying to justify it to Subaru, they probably didn't do the nicest thing to get her out.
They were like, Felt, we got pictures of you.
We know you're a lowly, secretly. You bitch.
You bitch. Now put a sweater on.
And
because
please.
Of this, Reinhard becomes part of the Emilia camp, which is the most interesting part, but
the most optimal path indeed.
That is certainly a way, right?
If you have a sword saint on your team, you're fucking winning. I'm sorry. Like
pretty much.
But oh, Reinhard in this if. Oh, my fucking bleeding heart. Holy shit.
Yeah.
He has so little self-esteem. He feels like he's been abandoned, and he feels like he isn't worthy because of Felt leaving.
Yeah.
And so he has this huge complex, and Subaru is just playing with it as well. Like, he knows this is his rope to just keep on putting Reinhardt more and more in.
Oh, it's so...
Oh, God.
It's almost disgusting.
Garth's relationship with Subaru as well.
Yeah, it's just like Garfield, but trained to become stronger. And he's also taking advantage of, like, how young he is, too.
Yep. He's just explaining away his emotional state as teenage hormones, almost. Like...
God.
And Garth hates Subaru in this as well, which is a really... Because of... They explain, don't they, that the way Subaru did the Sanctuary Trials, he completely left Garth out of everything. I didn't give him any resolution whatsoever.
Yeah.
On, like, so what he... actually happened in Arc 4. So he's resentful as fuck.
Yeah. And I think he had to, he was forced to leave. And he still had all of that trauma he had to go through. And he didn't grow or, you know,
change
at all to be able to.
He didn't confront his past.
He didn't. He still has all of that pain.
And Frederica and Ram basically forced him into the Amelia camp after that as well.
Yeah.
So he must feel like there is no way out at that.
As well, a small detail, they made Ram be nice to Subaru.
Oh my.
Which is,
I... That was the scariest, like...
Yeah, I was like, I don't want that.
There's no Barasu. There is no Barasu.
Barasu. Now she's just like, Subaru is Subaru.
And everyone says, like, oh, God, Ram is such a bitch. God, I miss that relationship so much. They are totally friends, okay? I'm sorry. They are. But,
yeah.
Oh my God, they feel so distant here. It's even mentioned the fact that she puts up a barrier around him. She doesn't know how to talk to him. She's broken as well. Because of not being able to save Roswell in Arc 4, she's given up. Everyone is so broken in this fucking
Yeah. Week. Like, literally, it's like... It's like they all complete, like they all, like it's like the worst version of Arc 4 happened.
Yeah, it's like the most optimal path, but the least satisfying, like, ending. Because Subaru here, it's stated as well, he's following the Roswell philosophy of as long as they're alive, there is hope. And I'm pretty sure we find out later, this isn't Roswell's philosophy, this is Ekadoma's justification of it as a philosophy. But by God Almighty, like, there is no one that is really happy here in this scenario.
No.
Like, at all.
No,
apart
no
from maybe Petra, but even then, she is not happy with the current circumstances of the camp either, I don't think.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way that Petra could be happy at all. Maybe she's happy to see Subaru, but...
Well, yeah, but that's a different... That's something that's just, you know, unique to them, you know?
Yeah, that's just their
not their environment.
Yeah, even when Echidona talks about it, she's like, you're only gonna, like, disappoint her or whatever, like...
Yeah.
And then he's like, but she's, like, my sister.
But you know she doesn't feel that way. She feels the opposite.
And it just
but Subaru
feels...
just doesn't comment. He doesn't say anything else
after
that. It's telling of how desperately Subaru is trying to think that everything is okay when it really is not.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's like the way she talks about Petra is just like, stop it.
It's so distant. And it's said throughout this if that Ekidona is trying to poison this mindset into Subaru. She is trying to completely take hold of Subaru's mentality and make him exactly like her.
Ugh.
And it's at this level where it's not even that he's losing or winning. They're stuck in a stalemate. They're stuck in a stalemate of, like, having different opinions but not being able to completely refute each other.
Yeah.
And just ignoring each other. Every single one of Subaru's relationships in this if is so... But the saddest part is that Subaru has no genuine relationships in this. He gave up all of his relationships, everything, to save these people. But in doing so, he's let them live. He saved their lives, but he's not saved them as people. That's different, you know?
Right. They have none of the growth or experiences that make them become truly happy
because
people.
Because Subaru does everything by himself. Subaru takes on every burden. What a certain trader says later puts that into perspective.
Yeah, yeah. He goes into the Forbidden Library. He sees Biko, who is just...
broken. Like, she is...
completely.
She is what happens when you've just given up completely on everything. Like, the first four sentences Subaru says to her in this conversation, she just completely ignores him.
She tells him to shut the hell up.
Yep.
Like, it's like all of their interactions are similar, but it's just twisted to just this depressing degree.
It's everything is wrong, and you can feel it is wrong, but you can only feel it is wrong because you're seeing it from Subaru's perspective. If we were witnessing this if through anyone else's perspective, their distorted mindset would think that this is just the normal Subaru.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's playing them like a fiddle. He's doing this, like, you know. Ekidono compliments.
Like a fiddle!
Like a goddamn fiddle! Because Ekidono says his acting skills are getting really good. Like, he's playing off everything perfectly. It's easy as breathing for him now. He's mm-hmm. done this. Like, it's just a routine.
Right, exactly.
He's going through the motions.
It's like working a job 24/7 for the rest of your life.
It's like a 9-to-5, but every aspect of your fucking life.
Yeah, and it never ends.
And it
There's
never
no
ends.
Breaks. God, the job, you're always doing the job.
Imagine this as well. Like, if it's gotten up to as many loops as it suggests it has, Subaru, like, mentally, age-wise, is up there. You know? Yeah. Like, he is not a boy or a teenager anymore.
Yeah,
I don't even know what to call him.
Someone who should obviously be dead.
Yeah, he is someone who should, and this sounds like fuck, should not be alive. He is at that level.
Yep.
Especially with the way he treats himself later on. Holy fucking shit.
Oh Lord. So, yeah. Well, I mean, he's also only experienced the same things over and over as well. So even by, you know, he's old-minded, but he's mm-hmm. lived a life where it's the same things on repeat.
It's like
he hasn't lived.
Why does love fade? Because
she makes it fade!
She makes it fade.
So, the blood of the dragon will fix Rim.
Yes.
I assume this is a plot point in Arc 5 and 6. I'm okay with that.
I think this is mentioned somewhere. I don't remember.
It may have mentioned before, but yes, this is what apparently will fix Rim.
This is probably why Roswell wants to kill the dragon, assuming.
Maybe. Apparently the blood of the dragon has many special powers. Apparently if you drink it, you'll get ripped and you have 6-pack abs in 3 weeks.
This is what Subaru needs to become OP. Come on, guys. One punch Subaru. Let's do this.
Yes, he just needs to drink from the Holy Grail, aka the
and
blood
then,
of the dragon.
And then he can one punch murder lollies like it's fucking nothing.
Yeah, it'll be like, Mei Li, come over here for a second.
Ilya, Berserker, nothing on this. Wait till you see this.
The way that he describes it and the way that Chidona describes it, it's like, well, you could like seek out these other people, the people
but
who put
your
her in this state.
Are closed.
Yeah, so it like you're gonna have to do this.
And do you get the feeling that Ekidona is purposefully closing off a lot of Subaru's options in this?
I do. I feel like she's manipulating.
She is lying through her teeth more times where she says she lies about about Biko, doesn't she? She says she doesn't know who it is.
Yeah, she
and
lies
that she
about
could
that.
Never know. Even though she and she's saying that because she doesn't want to ruin her relationship with Subaru.
Yep. It's I mean everything just what happened in season 2 and by the end of that, I mean everything with Echidona, it's literally she's like she just lies, like it's all in a way to get her way, like everything she says it's all perfectly crafted, and the reason she can do that is because she's so knowledgeable and because she has infinite vast amounts of knowledge. She can just persuade people really
and
easily.
You've got to think, right, this has been like what, 2 years since Arc 4 or whatever it says it is.
Yeah,
but She doesn't understand Subaru in Arc 4. That's what leads to her downfall in that scenario. She doesn't understand Subaru's morality as a person, so therefore he rejects her. But by him taking her hand and she experiencing everything he experiences, she completely understands Subaru to a fundamental.
Yeah, that's
and
actually
she can play him. She can do whatever she wants because she knows Subaru from head to fucking toe.
Right. I mean, that was that, you know. He gave away his biggest weapon, which was himself.
his independence, himself as a person. He's a puppet.
Yeah, yeah. He, you know, that wasn't... I mean, maybe it could have worked if, you know, the
there
contract...
were boundaries in the contract.
Yeah,
if they
wasn't.
Limited Echidona's greed, but they didn't.
Yeah, if she was the equivalent of Biko by the end of Arc 4, it could have worked. It probably could have worked out.
And this is the thing that's mentioned, right, in Arc 4, that by giving everything, you're like, and taking everything, that it does not create a healthy relationship. It doesn't. And you can see this, the result of this here. Subaru takes everything he wants from Echidona. Echidona takes everything she wants from Subaru. And there is no winning party in this scenario. Apart from, in the end, Echidona. She knows how to play these cards correctly. Now she's got the information on Subaru she needs. She's happy either way.
Right, right. She's got it all now.
One thing I will mention that I think we missed is when Biko assaults Subaru with her nails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that
and
was...
And scratches him. And I believe he talks to Roswell after this, right? Like, he walks out into the corridor, Roswell talks to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And he mentions that Subaru doesn't want his wounds to be healed. And what's insinuated here is, I think, that Subaru, by feeling pain, can feel alive.
Yeah, he's feeling something. That's exactly what I took it as.
Which... Can you imagine all the fucked up shit Subaru has... What we saw at the end of this if... Can you imagine all the terrible stuff Subaru has done to himself just to feel something now?
Ugh. It's so sad. It's so sad because...
It's a tragedy. It is. Like, yeah. Actually, it feels like I'm watching a Shakespearean tragedy.
Yeah, because Subaru is like... He's such a good person.
And
he's just
that still shines through in this if as well.
Yeah.
He's just misguided. There are little bits of that good-natured kid from Arc 4. But Echidona is trying to beat that out of him completely. And it's just this constant battle of, can he even keep the small fragments of his humanity left?
Yep. It's so messed up.
It is so fucked up.
It's just sad.
And, oh, wait till we get to the best it is Emiriatan in a second.
Oh, yeah. Well, right before that, they mention some other ways, some other things they may need to do. There's a certain watchtower, this
yes.
Shala person that I've seen, don't know anything about, but I guess now I know she's a sage. And then we go to Emiria, who is just it's like she took a trial and she's just always been broken after that.
And this is what happens if Emilia has no agency. If Subaru does everything for Emilia, Emilia breaks because Emilia can't find the self-worth in herself to be confident and to do something for herself. She is more reliant on Subaru than she was on Park, I feel, which is disturbing.
Yeah. And yeah, it kind of is.
The way she acts around Subaru. This is Mindbreak Emilia from Arc progressed.
Yeah, this is just her character. She never stopped being that. And it makes me think, like, you know, maybe Echidona was like, just don't worry about it. Don't be there for her when she wakes up. She'll be fine.
Oh, the thing she says here as well, she calls her disgusting. And Subaru doesn't say anything because he knows he'll start with her.
Ugh.
I think the saddest part of this is that when she sees Subaru's wounds, she, like, I'm pretty sure she almost freezes the entire fucking mansion. And Subaru barely is able to stop her. She is so mentally unstable.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just...
And even her hair has been cut in, like, a really sick imitation of Rem. Like, kind of like Subaru is placing Emilia's role as Rem in his head at this point. It's disgusting.
And then she sucks his finger, too.
God. And Subaru is disturbed by this as well. And he isn't really human anymore.
He, like, describes her tongue.
like, he goes in explicit detail as well.
Yeah, like, and, like, the saliva that's left over, and he's trying and he's like, to, you know, be, like, his usual self. Like,
you know, he's trying to pretend to joke, but it's not playing off well, is it?
This is so great. Amelia Tan's saliva. I love you. Man, I love everything about this right now. You're just so great. Shut up. I'll shut up for you, Subaru.
Oh
no,
my
I'm not
god,
talking
that line,
about you, Amelia.
That line, holy shit. Like, Subaru and Amelia are two examples of people that have completely given up on their own agency as people. But because Subaru has control over Amelia, it's like this fucking deck of cards that's just never ending of just god. A kid that was just playing them.
Yeah. Yep.
And this isn't a fucking game. These are people.
Right.
But she's a witch. She can't understand that. And that's the scariest thing. She's not evil. She's beyond human comprehension.
She's a monster.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, after that horrific scene, The thing that really puts this whole story into perspective is Otto leaving.
Yeah.
And it just shows like his like one of the only friends that he could consider.
I feel like the only friend at that point. Like Subaru doesn't think of his other relationships at that point as friendships. He thinks of them as one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So to hit that relationship for Otto is so, so important for the main timeline of Subaru.
Yeah, but Otto is another way to ground Subaru and have
to make
like,
Subaru human.
Yeah, and to give him like to make sure that he what he's doing is good. Like, you know, if it's all right by
Otto is
by
always
Otto,
there to point the right path to him.
Right. And if it's all right by Otto, then he can do it. Then he knows that it's a thing that he can do, and it's good.
The kind of trust between Subaru and Otto is this—it's like brotherhood. I think like Subaru knows that Otto always has his best interests at heart, and so he can always have faith in Otto.
Yep.
But Otto sees that Subaru takes upon everything by himself, and this is a great contrast to what happens in Ark, where Otto punches Subaru and tells him to stop doing everything by himself.
Yeah.
But by Subaru continuing to do that, and by continuing to not rely on other people, Otto doesn't think he's needed. And he just leaves.
Yeah.
And he says to Subaru, "We could have been friends, but you never thought of me as that, did you?" Because Subaru doesn't think of these people as friends. He thinks of them in some sick way below him, people he has to protect, people he has to baby and nurture. He's becoming Echidona. He's not seeing them as people anymore. Just things that he needs to keep safe.
Yeah, the scene is so bitter from Otto. He just feels like
you can feel the frustration, fucking like venom, in like the two sentences he says. Or who the fuck? It's basically what he's saying is, "Who the fuck are you?"
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's right. It's so well written.
Yeah. Yeah. In the next scene, which just the icing on the cake of disturbing turn of events that has happened to get to this point. Gut Hunter didn't actually die.
Subaru has gained complete control of her.
Saved her
from the mansion.
From the mansion's fires. And I guess nursed her back to health or something, or they did.
I'm assuming he let her escape and didn't tell anyone that she's alive.
Yeah.
And she mentions here about how Subaru's been making her like attack witch cultists and gluttony and stuff.
Yes, and he's letting her do all this stuff just so that really that she can get her kicks. She doesn't care.
Yeah, and the way he explains it is that you've got all the good people in this camp and then all the dirty shit that needs to be cleaned up, he just uses Elsa for.
Yep. It's like, well, yeah, if I got to do something and people don't need to know about it, just have
Elsa's my go-to.
Have her show up.
And now this is where it takes, I think, the darkest turn I've seen in ReZero so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to just go through this?
Well, he it throughout this whole story, you think, oh, this is just like a normal day. You think, oh, well, it's very eerie. Like, it's odd. It's a little like,
but it's weird. Not sinister.
Yeah, there's nothing really like going on. Like, it's just showing like, really, it's showing like what's happened to everybody after
it's
taking
distorted,
this route.
But it's not completely fucked at this point, right?
Right.
Like, you're thinking, God, there's something that could be salvaged here, right?
Yeah, it's like the next day is going to be, you know, better. Like, okay, they got Elsa. Well, I mean, that's not cool, but it's kind of cool, I guess. She's
yeah, and it's like, it's even earlier throughout the year, it's mentioned like the optimism of don't worry. But there's a little hint at the beginning of this. Subaru's paranoia, Subaru's absolute fear of everything. Like, how he even asked Sekidona earlier that, what day is it? And he's basically insinuating, did I die in my sleep or something?
Yeah, yeah. Totally forgot.
And
glossed over
that. He just mentions, like, every time he speaks about his death, he says it with so little care. And then it all combines into this one moment of...
Yeah.
He asks Elsa, so what is the weather like by the forest?
And... Well, they get the forecast.
Yep.
Because that's very important for what's about to happen next. Mm. Subaru asks Elsa to cut off his head.
And says she can play with his guts, just no...
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he also mentions that he's used Elsa, like, basically hundreds of times.
Yeah, like, Elsa is, like... Is his pill that
it's
he carries
suicide.
Around?
Yeah, this is the pill you wanted, everyone.
It's Elsa. She's it's big booby Elsa.
It is titty streamer Elsa here to ruin your fucking lives, make you simp.
And she's like saying something about he's saying something about Reinhard, and just in the middle of it, just cuts his head off. And while his head is flying off, he's thinking, Petra's really going to have to clean this up.
When I saw that sentence, there is no saving Subaru anymore. Like, there could have been. I was hopeful, right? I was like, maybe there is some way to fix this. Maybe we can stop this train from crashing.
No, there's no
but
stopping
as
this.
His head is flying and he still thinks, says, God, this could be a mess for Petra to clean up, isn't it? Is that what you're fucking worried about? Okay. Is that how little... This is how little self-worth he has now, right? Like, he doesn't even consider people... being hurt over his death.
Yeah.
The second trial means nothing to him anymore.
I mean, in reality, what's probably going to happen after this is Amelia's going to hear this and freeze everything.
Yeah. She's going to kill everyone.
Yeah, so Petra's not going to be alive to clean it, so it doesn't even matter.
Yep.
And
then...
then the next day. Or, well, things reset. Again.
Yep, and it's the start of the day again.
Yeah, and you get the feeling, oh no.
Something's wrong. Is there a checkpoint here for a reason?
Yeah. You put two and two together, and you're like, oh, he's been doing this over and over. This is what, like, he does this every
single
time.
And do you know what's worse? This is obviously like a new day for him, right? Like, he hasn't looped on this day yet. But you can tell that when he asks Elsa to kill himself there, he's not sure if there's a checkpoint recently. He's willing to risk going very far back just to do what he does here.
Yeah. Yeah. He has another conversation with Echidona.
Yep.
Just really just settles things in on how messed up just everything is. And then... He wakes up, and Petra comes in, and
he tells
her the weather. It's going to be all right.
That is what he killed himself for.
Yep.
To tell Petra the weather. To tell her what the weather would be that day.
Yep.
His most genuine relationship is his most...
It's so disturbing.
Dark. It is. I have not seen a more fucked up character in a long time, because it's drastic as well. Because in ReZero, like the main story, there is always an importance in every single one of Subaru's death. deaths, right? Like, yeah. Nothing, none of his deaths feel meaningless. And when they do sometimes feel that way, because they feel meaningless, they have importance.
Right, right.
But this is a plethora. He's done it so many... He's lost his own meaning in death. And by doing that, his own...
Yep. He's gone. He's gone by the end of this. Of course, Ashtona's like, why does love fade?
She says here is creepy as well. What she's basically just trying to use Subaru as much as possible until she's bored. And a lot of people misinterpret it as, oh, is this romantic? Mm. No. This is her favorite pet that she loves petting. No. She loves playing with. She is waiting. And when she says that line, why does love fade? You know that one day she's going to stop caring and enjoying this. And then that is when all of this ends.
Like Amelia said in this if, Subaru is more like a dog. And Subaru is Echidona's dog.
Yeah, he... And it's the major tragedy of this is that Subaru is not evil in this, like, at all. He is not Roswell, right? Even when we haven't seen all the probably terrible things Subaru has done in this timeline, there are so many mentions, there's so many little hints to the fact that there is still some little part of Subaru in there that is that good-natured hero that we know from the main story.
Yeah.
But the bleak reality of this is we know that's going. We know that one day that's going to dry up.
Right.
He's just going to become Roswell. Just worse. Somehow worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's inevitable at this point. It's placed in such a tragically beautiful way at this point in the story where you know there is no turning back. There is no way this is changing.
Yep.
It's brilliant. I loved reading this.
Yeah, this was the darkest thing I've ever read, to be honest. Ayamatsu was dark, but in a more violent way.
Yeah, Ayamatsu was like some... Well, because in that, Subaru is off the wheels evil, right? He's a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel sympathy for him, but Subaru is not a good person in that if whatsoever. Subaru doesn't like give up his humanity in that if. Subaru becomes a monster. This is, you're watching a broken man break more.
Pretty much.
And I do not enjoy it. I do not.
Yeah, this was like, when going into this, I was like,
oh, what's this going to be?
Yeah, like, oh, this is going to accept Eshido's contract. This is going to be interesting. See how fun things actually turned out.
Witch banter, right? Like,
yeah. They're going to drink tea and it's going to be funny and, like, all the witches are going to show up and it's just none of that.
It's just misery. It's just pure, unfiltered fucking misery.
It's depression, the web novel.
It's... You know Subaru made the right choice in the main title.
Oh, yeah.
There is no... I am sorry, but I'm showing this to anyone who thinks, oh, but he should have taken... It's the logical choice he should have taken. Just show them this.
Yeah.
Just show them this fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
How is this good? Tell me in what way is this good?
Yeah. Oh, but she said that he could use her in any way.
Dojin time, baby!
Cedric.
Cedric, oh god, Cedric, no, I'll be crying, no!
Cedric's already done it, though, that's the thing.
But this, it got such a visceral reaction out of me, this if in particular, that when it's revealed that he killed himself to just tell Petra the weather, was such a meaningless thing that has no importance. I felt sick. I actually genuinely felt sick.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's disgusting.
And the thing about it all, how beautifully tragic it is, like you said, is that is the Subaru that's left. You know, that is the genuine article. That's him. That's
yep. Ooh, this isn't some fake.
Yeah, I mean,
this isn't some clone, some copy. This is Subaru.
That's the sliver that's left. Is he's thinking, well, at least I'll bring happiness to Petra.
And it's the sadness is that his only relationship he really seems to care about as well. Like, yeah. With Amelia, he doesn't seem to care about his relationship.
I mean, why would you?
Annoyed that Echidona seems to want to change what he imagines in his head.
Yeah, yeah. And even, you know, Amelia herself, she's gone. She's not either.
He rolls his eyes at her.
Yeah. Yeah. And Rim's still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Ram is not Ram.
Oh my god. That was freaky as fuck. That was like, okay, this is getting worse and worse. I was like, oh.
Like, Biko is about as useful as Amelia at this point.
Yeah.
Reinhard is just bad. Garfield bad. Otto gone.
Mm-hmm.
Otto is probably the person who made out best with all this.
Yeah, and the tragedy is that he just left his best friend for life behind. Well, by doing, but that saved him.
yeah, he's the only one saved in all of this. And
it's even sadder, right? Because Subaru totally could have gone after him and tried to convince him, but he didn't. Subaru gave up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't see Otto as necessary, as a part of what he needed to do. And so, therefore, he doesn't include him in his thoughts.
Yeah.
There's also the sadness of the fact that the remaining bits of Subaru are still fucking destroyed over that moment. Like, it's a moment he thinks about all the time, from what it said.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh.
And it makes me wonder what would happen if Subaru just one day decides, like, even though he's broken and done for, I'm just not going to do what she says anymore. And I'm going to do this my own way.
And this is where it gets to the point where you think, but how deep are into him?
Yeah.
Because it feels that, although the way Subaru tries to explain it in his head is that, mate, but I do not think that is true. I am pretty sure Echidona is just playing at it just to keep Subaru's mental state that's somewhat usable.
Yep. And that's pretty much what Greedif is. It's very good. And I definitely recommend, if you're for some reason one of those people that believe that Echidona is the perfect waifu, please read this. Please.
Because she is not.
She's evil. Okay?
She's a witch, just plain and simple. She's not human.
She's a monster. And at the end of arc 4, when she's reincarnated into this world, I was like, ah, shit,
oh,
this ain't good.
Fuck. This is either gonna go terribly good,
or they're just gonna put her in preschool because she's a lolly.
It's an Omega lolly.
I'm Amelia, or I'm Echidona. No, you're not. You're a lolly. Get back
you're
to school.
You're a fucking lolly. Get back to school. You're not in my target zone.
And then that meme, angry witch noises.
Yeah, but with lolly.
Angry lolly witch noises. So, Wolf, where can they find you?
Well, I have a YouTube channel. And I'm working on something at the moment, so hopefully there should be a video soon.
I heard it was about a review of Bible Black, your favorite
My favorite anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm be assured I'm not making that, no matter how much C wants me to.
Well, I mean, the audience definitely wants you to make it, too. So right, audience? Put down the comments below if you want to see
that. No!
Go to his channel comment section and just type in "Do a review of Bible Black,"
please.
Yeah. So next week we're going to be starting on Arc 5. So that should be lots of fun.
The beginning of a new era.
Yes, a new era of the podcast that is Zero, but also Re.
The best Zero Re you've ever seen podcast.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So thanks everybody for watching the podcast. I appreciate it. Do the things you always do, like the video, subscribe, ring the bell, and see you next time. Bye-bye.